Well, let's return once more now to the day's main news, the dramatic comeback of Donald Trump, who will become the 47th president of the United States. Doyle McManus is Washington columnist with the Los Angeles Times, and he joins us on the line. Doyle, thanks for being with us again today. It's now several hours since the networks projected the result. It's even longer since we heard from Donald Trump. Are you surprised we haven't yet heard from Kamala Harris?
I'm a little bit surprised in that it's 8:30 in the morning in Washington, but I do expect that Kamala Harris will be on television soon. It was prudent of her to wait overnight. We've had a series of very close elections, and the one thing you don't want to be caught out doing is what happened to Al Gore and George W. Bush in 2000 when the election is called one way and then it swings back the other. But I do expect we will hear from her within an hour or so.
How do you explain the scale of Donald Trump's victory yesterday?
I think if you look into the numbers, you will see that this is a classic anti-incumbent vote. Two-thirds of the voters said they felt the economy is in bad shape, and they blamed the Democrats for that. And of those two-thirds who said the economy was bad, 70% of them voted for Trump. In a sense, it's as simple as that. It's the same anti-incumbent trend that has been going on in Britain, in Germany, in a lot of advanced countries. I'll just mention two other factors quickly. Kamala Harris was counting on a wave of votes from women exercised about access to abortion. That didn't materialize. It was a ripple rather than a wave, and she needed a real wave, number one. Number two, Kamala Harris was trying to hold on to the minority voters, the racial minorities, the African-Americans, the Latinos, who historically have voted Democratic. There was erosion there. Trump made headway there. And all of that was enough to allow Trump to do better than he did 4 years ago against Joe Biden.
It's going to be fascinating to see the administration he puts together. I mean, there were some hints this morning. It does seem that there's going to be a role in the new Trump administration for Elon Musk, also a role for Robert Kennedy Jr., a man who was essentially promoted misinformation about vaccines.
That's right. Trump stuffed his campaign with people who, to put it bluntly, some of us would call cranks. And it will be fascinating to see whether and how he tries to keep those figures under control. One of the factors here is Congress, and the Republicans will have a majority in the Senate, and the Senate is the body that has to ratify those nominations. He may run into some trouble with some of those nominations because there are a half a dozen moderate Republican senators who may say, you know, Robert F. Kennedy is a line too far.
Clearly, a great many voters were able to look past the Donald Trump scandals, you know, things like his conviction for falsifying business records and so many other events over the past few years, including what happened on January the 6th, 2021. Why do you think that is?
That is a remarkable phenomenon. You're absolutely right to call attention to that. My own theory is that the volume of Trump's scandals and his own endless ability to blow past them has, in a sense, made voters immune to factors that normally would cause them to disqualify any other candidate. And Trump has campaigned relentlessly for the last 2 or 3 years on a very simple, straightforward argument that Joe Biden and the Democrats ruled a beautiful economy that he, Donald Trump, had built, that they had broken the economy, that he is the only man who knows how to fix it. And the evidence we have before us is that most voters decided to focus on that and not the scandals.
Doyle McManus of the LA Times, thanks as always for joining us on the News at 1.